Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
It is so wonderful to be with you all in church today. It is so wonderful to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with you today and to hear about what he is doing through Pete and through the kids in Churnside Park Primary. To hear what he has done in our youth and our young adults at camp at the start of this year, to hear what he's doing in the lives of so many people in and through this place, through the school and through Oxley Kids and through the ministry on Friday nights, where there was about 160 kids there from the local area on Friday night. Mate, to Stu and Marina for that testimony about Alpha, like, I mean, Cass knows I'm not a crier. Man, I'm sitting there in tears just to, you too, I know. To see what Jesus is doing in the lives of people. And it is a joy. It is a joy to play a part in that. Does anyone want to say amen to that? Because we are the church. We, every single one of us, have a part to play in this. And it is a joy to do it all with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much as we acknowledge what you are doing and what you have done, first and foremost in us. And Lord God, what you're doing in the lives of so many people who are connected with this place, we just want to stand in awe of you and give you thanks for your saving grace, for your incredible love, for the fact that we know that we do not do life alone because you are indeed with us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the way that you make the word come alive. We thank you for the revelation that you give us of that love that you have. And Father, as we come around your word today, we want to open our hearts for you to have your way again. Jesus, speak to us this day, we pray. In your mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Last week, for those who were here, we had our dedication Sunday service where we dedicate all the staff across the property. And you would have heard a brief testimony of over 60 years of ministry on this place. And we are thrilled to see what God has done and remember that through the ministry of this place. And he's grown this organization to what it is now with the various ministries across the place. But we come around this one organizational name, Life Ministry Center. And we here at Life Ministry Church, and our vision statement for that title is the title really itself, Life Ministry Center. We are living and ministering Christ. And it's those two aspects to that. And in other words, you could say we are loving God and we are loving others. That is what we are doing here. Another way of saying it, we are allowing God to work in us and we are allowing God to work through us. And in essence, these are the two main aspects of our growth as followers of Jesus, that his presence and his teaching, it should indeed change us. And then by the very nature of that change, we go out and see that change happen in others as we declare his love and his goodness to those around us. And change, I don't know, your attitude towards change in life, perhaps you don't like it so much, but change when it comes to the Christian walk is not something that we should walk away from, but is something that we should lean into. As God develops us and changes us and makes his word come alive and challenges us. And today is Vision Sunday. And I'm really excited to share with you the phrase that I believe God has given us as a church this year. And that process begins in August or September every year, and I take some time aside and I inquire with God, what do you want to say, what do you want to do, and what's this word or phrase that you want to come around? And it was sometimes he delivers it to me with precision accuracy, and I know exactly what it is. And other times he takes me through a bit of a process in order to get to what I can articulate to you, hopefully articulate to you today. And that process was exactly what happened this time around. And it's interesting because that word process is apt to exactly what the theme is for us this year in the first place. One of my favorite stories before we start in the Bible is of the man who was born blind. And we hear this story about his encounter with Jesus, a man who was born blind. He had never seen a tree before. He had never seen a nose before. He had never seen a dog before. Like, I know that's... You know that that's... what a blind person can't see, but Sometimes we fail to realize the impact that it has on someone's life when they are indeed blind. They cannot see a thing. And he has this encounter with Jesus, and I love it. Jesus effectively brings him along, puts some mud in his hand, spits in the mud, and then puts it on his eyes and said, go and wash. And then he comes back and he is healed. He can see. And the Pharisees inquire of this man and they say, how did this all happen? Who is this Jesus you met? And they ask all these questions, and I love the man's response. And he says, all these things I don't know. I don't know what you're asking me, but there's one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. And it's as simple as that. To him, I was blind, and now I see. And that is something I do know. And for some of you in this room, that is a relatable story to you. Because when you found Jesus for the first time, it was like you were blind, but now you see. It was a 180-degree turn in your life. I love, Stu, that comment. My heart is now full. My heart is now full. I had all these questions. But man, the change has come. The change is here. I was blind, but now I see. But there might be others of you in the room, and I'm a little bit relatable in this camp as well, that there's not a time that I have not really known that I didn't know Jesus, because I've been in church for a long time in my life. You know, for me it was, and maybe for you too, I was... When I had toys at home, there was something in me that just made them maybe put 10% of my toys aside for my friends to play with, or you know, maybe when it comes to your prayer time, and it was just something that was normal, absolutely, absolutely normal for you. Your first book you had was probably a kid's Bible. You've been following Jesus your whole life, and you don't actually know anything different. And then for others of you, you're still checking all this out, and you're like, I'm just checking it out. Don't force me into anything. I'm just sitting here. And what I want to say to you is, good on you for being here. And you are welcome in this place. And I want you to keep asking questions. And I want to keep shaking those trees. And just keep watching and keep inquiring. And allow God to continue to sow those seeds and grow what he's doing in you as well. He sees you and he loves you. And Aaron, if you can come up and help me set this up, please. Bring those chairs up. And I've got a little picture that I want to give you today to help out with our theme for this year, a little illustration. And we need that bag. And seeing as Steph used a rope to start the year, I'm going to do the same thing. Sorry, camera guys, you're not going to... Yeah, put it on Aaron. Yep, show Aaron. No, stay there, mate. They've got the camera on you. Maybe flip the chair around so that you can leave that bit on the other side of the chair. Yeah, that's good. Now bring it over here a little bit. Thanks. Thanks, Aaron. Now that should tie that there. That should tie that there. Yeah, good. That's it. Keep the camera on him. That's good. Looks good. Thank you, mate. Appreciate that. And I've got this rope, and I want to do this analogy and this for it to be a picture. I'm going to give you a couple of pictures today that we can remember throughout this year. I love learning in pictures. I don't know if anyone's the same way, but I love learning visually. So for those who are visual learners, hopefully this helps. For others, please bear with me on this. The story of the Bible, the story of our history in life, is marked by one occasion directly. We refer to our history in terms of BC and AD. It was the coming of Christ that has split up the two aspects of history, how significant that is. And it's this moment of, I was blind, but now I see, in terms of the world, but a little bit more in our story as well. And I want this to represent our story, this rope. And for you out there, yes, this would be your starting point and that's your ending point, all right? Obviously, none of you are at this point yet. You're still here. But all of us have indeed been here as well. And at some point in this, timeline, there was a, I was blind, but now I see point for you. There was, and I want you to hear this today, though it may not have been physical blindness for you, there was certainly a spiritual blindness for each and every one of us. And a miracle has occurred in your life if you are now a Christian, if you are a follower of Christ. A miracle has occurred. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, the longer we leave it, the longer we go through the life as a follower of Christ, sometimes we can forget the absolute miracle that that was, that point of salvation where we accepted Jesus. And so all of us are along here. Now, for me, if I, let's for argument's sake call this 103 years old, okay, is up this end. For me, it was about here. As I was in church, and it wasn't Peter Harris, but it was probably the kids pastor at that point, or maybe my parents that led me to Jesus at this point in my life. Now, Stu, I was going to ask you how old you are, Stu, but old. So you tell me when to stop. Here. All right. So Stu, I was blind, now I see, right here. Aaron, where about you? Around my same, here? Yep. And I want to acknowledge two things right now. Because for me, the time when I actually accepted Jesus into my life and said, yes, I want to follow you, was here. Now, there was a second point for me when I was in my teenage years where Jesus actually became Lord of my life. And that was a different thing. That was a decision that I made as a teenager to go, I'm selling out on this. He is my life. He is everything. And that was about here. Pastor Graham, where was it for you? You tell me when to stop. Here? Here. Well, I'm tipping that's about 20 years old. 18? Oh, it's close. Good. All right. Chris Blacker? About the same. You and Graham will stay there, all right? 17. All right, mate. Right there. Okay. There you go. There you go. That's you, CB. That's you.
He's much older now.
Overachiever. That's what you. Jill. 14. I'm going to 17, 18. 18, 17, 16, 15, 14. Whoa. Same as Aaron. How, were you at 14 as well? Great. Thank you. Thank you, mate. When was Pastor Hal? 40? 40. We're going to go in about here, halfway through. Who else was over 40 when they found Christ? Anyone else? Pat, what age? 41. How about you, Dunk? 44. That's up here. You get the point. You are, I am, somewhere on this rope. And if we're honest about it, there are even some people for whom, whether they get to 100 or at whatever point in their life, effectively, for the sake of this illustration, are here. It happens here, right before they pass, and they make that decision. But for every single one of us who is at this point and not there, there is a point that has gone before. There was a moment in time. And there is a life that is to be lived after that for every single one of us. Perhaps you don't have a red mark that you can put on this rope right now. I pray that that is something that you want to do, and you can even do that today if you'd like to. But have a think about it. Where are you on that rope? Where was it? When did you first see? I love to ask it this way. When did you first fall in love with Jesus? This part, this future that we have to live, is the part that I believe God gave me a word for us as a church. Not the part prior to the red, but it's beyond, which is for many of us is the area that we're living in right now. And this verse I want to share with you is both a jumping off point and a guiding light for us for this year. And it's from Psalm 63. And David wrote this psalm when he was in the wilderness of Judah. He'd effectively been banished from the kingdom at this point. And it should tell us something, that when you think about the Apostle Paul and some of the richest epistles that he wrote as he was in prison. Psalm 63 was one of David's most beautiful psalms, and it was written from his time in the wilderness. And it says this, O God, you are my God, in verse 1. Highlight this. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. Thank you, Phil. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. As I read a commentary about this psalm this week, it articulates perhaps the heart of David as he was writing this. It says this: that which grieved him most in his banishment was the want of public ordinances. These he here longs to be restored to the enjoyment of, but the present want did but whet his appetite. Yet it's not the ordinances, but the God of the ordinances that his heart is upon. Ordinances, meaning those ways that they were meeting together, the things that were happening back in those times. And in 2020 and 2021, when we weren't allowed to meet together, oh, what a desire we had to be able to join together and worship again. And do I hear an amen from anybody there? Oh, how I long for the freedom to be able to enjoy in-person company in church again. And yet through all of that, there was a learning for us that even if the programs, even if the services, even if the different things that we come along to can't be done in person, we need never stop meeting with God. Even if the ordinances are unavailable, the God of the ordinances is not. He was here yesterday. He was here today. And he continues to be here in the future. And it's David's heartfelt response in that moment. This is what I want each one of us to come to the point to. Not even this year, but right now. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. And it's with that back as the backdrop, I want to let you know what we're going to come around this year is it's this phrase, pursuing Jesus. Pursuing Jesus. And really, this is not just our goal for 2023, but this is the goal of our whole life, is to pursue Christ. But I believe significantly this year that God is going to lead some of you here to some significant next steps in your journey with Him. Perhaps you've been sitting treading water for a while, and this is going to be a year of big next steps for you in what He has for you. For some of you, it is that He wants to take you forward. Forward. I'm using these words deliberately. Forward. That He wants you to be looking ahead and not behind. See, God has not simply created us to exist. We are created to grow and we are created to move forward. As I was writing that, I felt that this was something that people needed to hear. Some of you need to hear this today, that you are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. You are not insignificant. You are not void of value. You are a child of God. He has created you with a plan and purpose in mind, and this is it, to pursue Jesus. Pursue Jesus. A.W. Tozer said this: to have found God and still to pursue Him is the soul's paradox of love. How is it that the pursuit of Christ is one that we have done for many of us, but it is one that continues on? You know, I lost my wallet at the start of the year. And it took me weeks to discover that it was lost because I really don't use it that often anymore. And so by the time I'm trying to find my wallet, I ask the household, have anyone seen my wallet? And then we search in all the usual spots, in the car and in my bag and all those sorts of things. Can't find it. So what do? I cancel my cards and order new ones. I buy a new wallet and I've got a new wallet and this one has an AirTag in it. So if I lose it again, I'm going to be able to find it, which is good. And so that all comes and I put it all together and then you know what happens? Of course. You guys have had this happen before, haven't you? It was in a bag in the kids' bedroom at the end of their bed and it had been sitting there for months. It just dropped into this. I reckon one of the kids just grabbed it and we asked them. We did. But we found it. And whether I had found it or not, I did find it and it was done and I threw my cards out because they were worthless now. And that was the end of the journey. I had lost my wallet, I had found it, And now I'm not thinking about my wallet again. And yet with Jesus, we have this interesting dynamic where we find him and we are continually finding him as we walk through the rest of our lives. There is a found and a finding that happens at the same time. And honestly, that is one of the most exciting things about the Christian life, is that we have been saved and that heaven awaits. But the joy of the journey is so, so thrilling. Amen. Pat, you get it. I know that. And Philippians 2, 12 to 13, Paul says this. He says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. The desire and the power to do what pleases him. Another translation says it this way, that we are to work out our salvation. And it's not saying that we continue to work to that point where we are finally saved, but it's that constant, we know that we're saved, but it's that sanctification. And we're going to, that's a word for another message. We're going to look at that word sanctification, that continual process. And so for us on this rope, though we may be at different journeys down this rope, we all have one thing in common. You said in the prayer meeting, we are all indeed on this journey. We all have a response to this journey, this rich just journey of discovery in our pursuit of Jesus. So I want to look at a couple of things of what the Bible says about this journey that we're on. And Philippians 3 is one that, a verse that Dan Anderson used last week when he spoke about joy, and where Paul takes Jesus' goals and then makes them his own to find joy. And I want to, when I was thinking about that, about last week and about joy, joy is not something in your life that can be hit or miss. You might say, well, I've got a certain life to live and who knows what's coming next and whether I'll be able to be joyful about that or not. There is an intentionality to us pursuing that joy. But this is the thing. Joy can be found by every one of us, but let's see it this way, that the pursuit of joy is actually for us the pursuit of Jesus. We will find the joy that we are seeking as we pursue Jesus. So don't pursue joy just for joy's sake or just for happiness' sake. Pursue Jesus and allow him to reframe the way that you see joy in the first place. That is going to be key if you are looking for joy in your life this year. And Philippians 3, 12 to 14 says this, I don't mean to say that I, Paul, have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I, and say this with me, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. And I love that terminology, that analogy that Paul uses about this being a race. There's a sense of activity around this terminology. There's movement involved. There's the determination to continue to look forward and not look back. Fix our eyes on moving forward. I've got four things that I want you to write down today about pursuing Jesus. There is so much more that I have to say than what I have in my notes today, but we will indeed get to that. The first one is this, pursuing Jesus. It's not a passive pursuit, it's a passionate pursuit. I want you to write that down. Make sure that we realize that as we go through this year. It is not a passive pursuit, but it is a passionate pursuit that is going to require intentionality for us. Sorry, guys. Yeah, there you go. Oh, I'm walking off it still. I'm coming back, though. I've got this chair here. This is a comfy chair. And I was thinking about this as well in relation to this, and I shared this a couple of weeks ago as a picture. And I want to give you a picture. Take it for what it is. And for some of you at some point in your life, and I'm talking about the post red line from here, at some point down this track, you've come to a position and you've seen the chair, and the chair looks super comfy. And you've decided, maybe just in that moment, just for a moment, that I just want to be comfortable for a moment. I just need to get comfortable for a second. And the thing with getting comfortable is, I mean, have you ever done a hard day's work and sat on the couch? Man, it's hard to get up, right? And we sit on the couch and is anyone feeling it right now? We take our shoes off and put them to the side and we relax. I've got clean socks on. There's no holes in these socks today. That's a good thing. And look, a packet of Doritos. And we sit and we relax and we open our packet of Doritos, and this is going to give me really dry mouth. It's not good for preaching. Just imagine I'm eating Doritos because I don't actually want to eat them right now. Is anyone? Anyone? No, no. And we sit and we get comfortable. Sorry for those who are in the way there. And we begin to enjoy life in the comfort zone, where perhaps the things that we used to do to indicate our passionate pursuit of Jesus have just taken a back seat for a moment because we've gotten comfy. And it's been replaced by our input of corn, maybe? I don't even know what's in these things. Corn? Basically corn. And we do that, and then someone comes along in church and they share something challenging with us about pursuing Jesus. And we think, I used to know what that was like. Maybe I'm not like that anymore, but I used to know what that was like. But I'm pretty comfortable. And then we look down and we glance and we see our runners. And we see those running shoes on the ground and we go, oh, man, I haven't been run for a long time. And we see them and they've gathered dust. For some of you, that might be your Bible at home. And you see it and it's gathered dust and you're like, oh, I know they need to be on my feet. But Jesus, chair is comfy. Someday we build up the courage and we sit there probably with our phone and go, well, if I'm going to get going, maybe I just need to order myself some new running boots. You know? You know, Sal? And for us, we go, well, you know, my Bible's old. Let me just order myself a new Bible, right? Anyone, you know? I'll order my, that'll get me going again. Maybe not. Can I encourage you? Whatever Bible you have, just get in it. Just get in it. Don't worry, just get in it. If it's online, that's just get in it. And finally, we get up, build up the courage, and we get the shoes, and we slip them on. And it feels that, you know, there's a little bit of like, oh, I remember what that was like. And you get to this point. And for some of you, the prompting of this message means you have gotten to this point. But what I want to encourage you today is to put the bag of Doritos down, to brush them off, like I said 2 weeks ago, brush them off your lapel and get up. And get up with your Bible and start walking, because we are in the pursuit of Jesus. We are pursuing Him. And for some of you, that chair, I don't know what it is that has led you to say, man, I'm in church right now for the first time in 3 months. And it seems, I used to go to church every week. And now I'm only here once every 4 weeks or whatever. That maybe there's a comfort zone in your Sunday that needs to be challenged. And you need to actually make a decision to get here every week on your pursuit of Jesus. Because that is what He is challenging you towards or requiring you of. Perhaps when it comes to your Bible reading, you need to get accountable and get together with someone in church, and perhaps even after the service today, say, hey, I need some help. I need to get accountable with this because I'm a bit comfortable at the moment. But man, let 2023 be the year where I pursue Jesus again, or perhaps pursue Him like I've never pursued Him before. And you know what happens when you get passionate about something? The other things that you were passionate about start to fade away. And for me, when I was a teenager, I was late in my teen years and I was getting into heavy music, some heavy metal music. And I'm not having a crack at heavy metal music right now. That's a conversation for another day. But for me, it was something that I would listen to every single morning before I went to school. And it was something that determined my attitudes towards that day. And I was so challenged about this. It was at Planet Shakers, actually, when I went to Planet Shakers conference for the first time. And the preacher stood up on the stage and he said, are you serious about Jesus? And he said, then get rid of your CDs. That's how old I was. Get rid of your CDs. And I was like, man, you have just like knocked me out on the canvas. I am done. That was a word exactly for me. And so I did.
I'm drying out up here with no Doritos.
And I got home and I replaced those discs with some discs of music that actually honored God. I started listening to scripture sung through those songs. And my passion for the word of God as sung through these songs and my passion for worship soon outweighed my passion for this heavy music. And see, what you begin to stir yourself in getting passionate about means the other passions start to tip the other way. The same can be said when we allow the other things, the comfort zones, that our passion starts to tip the other way. Let us make sure our passion is for the right things and pursue Jesus in that direction. I'm going to leave these runners on. Is that okay? I haven't been on a while, to be honest. The pursuit of Jesus isn't necessarily going for a run in the morning. And it's not even not ever eating Doritos again. But how do we begin? Well, pursuing Jesus begins with the heart. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And there's such purity in that. Because you can be the most disciplined person in many, many spiritual things, and yet if God doesn't have your heart, and indeed your whole heart, then we end up missing the point. I remember being in year 8 at school and hearing one of my classmates state the fact that they had read the whole Bible cover to cover. And it was certainly something that I hadn't done in year 8 at school at that point. And I didn't even think, even before that conversation or before that comment came, that this person was a Christian. And I can't judge their heart at that time or even now. And by the way that they acted or by the way that they spoke. But it's possible with enough self-will and discipline that you can do all the right things and still miss the point of this pursuit. And I want to make sure that that's clarified for you today, that as we go on this pursuit of Jesus, it is not just about simply ticking the right boxes, but it is first and foremost making sure our heart is right in its direction towards God. Look at what Jesus says about being true disciples. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. God looks at the heart. Let's make sure our heart is pure towards him. So pursuing Jesus, the second thing, it begins with the heart. Has anyone here found the Christian life easy? No. Following Jesus is not easy, nor does the Bible promise it to be. You throw in the fact that the desires of our flesh and the desires of the Spirit are at war, and we've got an interesting story going on. And here's what both Proverbs and Jesus says about this journey that we're on, starting with the heart and what to do with it. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Again, this terminology of the journey. But what Proverbs is saying here is that we have some control over the nature of the path that we're going to take. In all truth, your answer to this question will have the single greatest impact on your life than any other. The question is, am I going to trust in God? Or am I going to do things my own way? The single most important question for you to answer, am I going to trust what God says or am I going to do things my own way? Am I going to choose to submit to him as the authority under which I live or am I going to do whatever feels right to me? The windy road is what awaits us if we choose our own way. And the thing about a windy road is that we can have little confidence in what is coming up around the corner. I told the story a little while ago about me going for a drive up the Black Spur very early in the morning. And it was dark and it was foggy. And you know that if you've been up that road, you know how windy it is. And I could do nothing more except for look at that one little white line on the outside of the road and use that as my guide going forward. I couldn't see further than 10 minutes. Truth be told about that, though I was making my way, if I had have turned around the corner and there was something there, that would have been it for me. If there was a tree that had fallen over, if there was a car that had smashed, I could not see what was coming up around the corner. But with straight paths, not only do you have the confidence in the direction that you're going in your life, but you can have confidence that you're able to stay on the road. And so this is the third thing, pursuing Jesus. Don't follow culture, follow God. Jesus himself too uses this journey terminology. Matthew 7:13-14. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way, but the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few will ever find it. Our flesh will always look for the easy way out. And I'm sure you've seen this before in your own life. Unless we are intentional about our yes to God and no to sin, we will tend towards that easy path, the path that is the path to sin and the path to death. No one said the Christian life is going to be easy, but it is the way to life. John 14, 1. I'm going to close with this passage. John 14, 1 to 6. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also trust in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, what I've told you, that I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going? No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Pursuing Jesus, because he is the only way. He's the only way. So, back to the rope. Where are you at on that journey? At what point past the red line are you? If you are indeed past the red line, if you are not, and you want to find out more about what it is to be a follower of Jesus, one of us would love to chat to you afterwards. But for those who are a follower already, where are you at on this line? Because there is a pursuit of Jesus that is required of each and every one of us at this point. There's a trend going on around social media and has been going around for maybe a couple of years now, and you might have seen it. There's two photos that get put up side by side. And one says how it started, and the other one says how it's going. Have you seen this before? And pretty much, I'll explain it to you quickly. How it started is perhaps there's a young couple that have met, and it's a photo of them when they're really young. And how it's going is a photo of them 20 years down the track with 5 kids and all this sort of stuff. And so it's just a comparison of how it started and how it's going. And there's a lot of time that happens. It's really an explanation in a 2 snapshots of your journey. Each one of us is on this journey. And I want to leave you with a challenge as we embark this year in our pursuit of Jesus. And this is a challenge that you can take up right now and you can take up today. Is I want you to share your journey. I want you to tell someone about your journey. I want you, and we call it in church, we call it our testimony. I want to tell you to get in the habit of telling your story. How it started? Come on. Alpha, LMC, 2022. How it started? And how it's going? What is the Lord Jesus doing in you right now? What is he challenging you towards in this next season of your life? And if you've got a husband or a wife, go home and talk about it today. Even bring your kids in on this conversation. Perhaps you're in a family group. Tell your story. Be accountable to what God is doing in your life right now. And by extension, life group is a great place to do that as well. Tell someone your story. And so let me pray and go. Again, there's so much more, but we're on this journey together as a church. We're going to keep moving on this. And, you know, we've got lots of things, life groups coming, and we got 21 days of prayer and fasting happening in March, and there's so many exciting things that the kids and the youth, and there are so many programs happening here in church. And I don't want you to see this the wrong way, and hear my heart on this. There are so many things that you can get involved in and that you can serve. Kids Hope, and there are so many things. That is a part of what it is to pursue Jesus. But we do not rely on programs for our pursuit. It comes back to our heart. And I tell you what, your pursuit of Jesus and the success of that this year is not going to be from how many times you can attend stuff here, but it is going to be your attitude to him and the way he changes your heart in the secret. It's going to be in the quiet times. It's going to be in your early mornings. It's going to be in your evenings.
It's going to be in the moments where he challenges and the Holy Spirit prompts you to say something or do something. That is where this pursuit of Jesus is really going to count and really going to matter. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this journey that you have each one of us on. We thank you for the thrill that it is to wake up every morning and go on this journey with you. Father, we thank you for what you have done in our lives to this point. But Father, we also look forward so much to what you're going to continue to do. No matter our age, no matter our story, no matter our circumstance, there is growth that awaits us in you and your presence. Father, I thank you that there is truth in the statement that we are all a work in progress. That not one of us sitting in this room is perfect. We have not achieved that goal, nor will we until we find ourselves at home with you in heaven. And so, Lord, for anybody who is perhaps sitting here today or watching online, and they are thinking, I have gone around this mountain too many times. I have made these good choices too many times and then failed at them. I've sat on the couch for too long. That we are all a work in progress. But Father, you are continually calling us to more. Jesus, you are our Lord. Just stand with me, church, please, and I'm just gonna pray for you. I'm going to pray a prayer about submission, that we are submitted to the Father. And if that's you and you want that to be a prayer for you as well, then just agree with me in your heart as I pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you this day and we submit our lives to you again. We submit our desires. We submit anything that we have built. We submit our attitudes, we submit our thoughts, we submit our actions. We submit it all to you right now and ask you to tell us where the next step is, because all we want to do is pursue you and follow you, Jesus. Father, if there's any area in our hearts that is not pure in our motive, I pray that you would bring that to the surface. Let us work on that right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your word that it says that you will give us the desire and the power to overcome in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the way that you are at work in us, that the way that you walk with us on a daily basis. And we want to see your power at work in and through our lives as we submit ourselves to you. Jesus, it is your glory. We love you. I'm going to give you just 30 seconds in this quiet. Just whatever area of your heart it is that needs turning towards him. Jesus, we thank you for the foundation that we can live our lives upon, which is your word. We thank you that we can trust you with our lives as we move forward. And Father, we do that with such joy and excitement for what you're going to do in us and through us this year. Oh, glory be to your name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Church, have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful week. Get accountable, share your story, have a tea or coffee after the service.
Thanks.